So God made every single one of us special. We sometimes call someone who is in love with himself or herself a narcissist. What you may not know, though, there is a story from the Greek mythology from which they get the word from. There are actually two Greek characters in this myth, Narcissus and Echo. As the story goes, the goddess Hera got angry with Echo and cursed her by saying that she was doomed to repeat whatever she had heard anyone else say. One day, Echo was hiding in the woods. When the young man Narcissus was hunting and got lost, he called out to his friends, "Where are you? Where are you?" Echo was forced to say, "Where are you? Where are you?" "I'm over here," Echo said. "I'm over here." So Narcissus started toward her and got scared and ran away. Every time she called out, she answered. She ran until she came to a clearing where there was a pool of water. When Narcissus came to the pool, he looked down and saw his own reflection. For the first time, and immediately, fell in love with this beautiful young man he saw. He said, "I love you. I love you." Echo was hiding, said, "I love you. I love you." Narcissus thought it was the young man calling back to him. He wanted to be with him. So he jumped in the water, dove to the bottom of the pool, and drowned. The Bible has much about pride and having too high of an opinion about ourselves. But I suspect that more Christians struggle with the opposite problem. Not thinking highly enough of themselves. In Romans 12:3, Paul says, "For I have said through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself nor more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly." It is significant to me that Paul said, we are not more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, meaning that there is a level of self-esteem which is proper. When Jesus taught in Luke 10:27, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself," that suggested that there is an extent to which way we should love ourselves. In fact, it may well be accurate to say that we're going to have difficult loving others if we don't have that proper respect and love for ourselves to begin with. When James Dobson once took a survey of women and concluded that the number of one source of depression among women is low self-esteem. Studies indeed seem to show that women suffer more from low self-esteem than men, but it is certainly a problem that we both face. Low self-esteem simply states it is the ability to feel good about yourself. It is usually character by feeling inadequate, worthless, and lack self-confidence. People with low self-esteem feel inferior and just simply don't feel good about themselves. It is wondering why other people have so much more talent and ability than they do. It's feeling incredibly unattractive. It's disliking everything about yourself and wishing, constantly wishing you could be someone else. Which of us, man or woman, girl or boy, have not experienced those feelings? We need to develop a high self-esteem. Now, what I mean by high self-esteem is not to boast or self-righteous attitude. It's simply a feeling of self-worth. It's self-confidence. It's your abilities or talents, whatever they may be. God made us specially. Why is self-esteem so important? We need to develop self-esteem because it affects so many areas of our lives. It affects our home. It affects our relationship with others. But also it affects our church. A Christian with high self-esteem is more likely to become more involved in various programs in the church. We recognize our talents and seek to use them for the Lord's purpose. On the other hand, Christians with low self-esteem are like the man who hid the one talent in Luke 19. We won't use our talents because we are afraid of failure or criticism. We compare ourselves with others and say, let so-and-so do it. He can do a better job. I just don't feel that qualified. Does that ring a bell? Remember when Moses told God, I really don't feel qualified to do this job of leading your people out of Egypt. I really think you ought to get somebody else. And God said, who do you think gave you that tongue? I gave it to you. Granted, that's a very loose translation, but it gives you guys the idea. The same thing happened when God picked Gideon to lead the Israelites into battle. Gideon said, I am nobody. God said, Go in this might of yours, in Judges 6:14. You see, having a proper view of ourselves can make us better Christians. We can become more confident servants of God. I'm not interested this morning in boosting our egos, but hopefully better self-esteem will cause us to be willing to be more for God and more for others. Why do we have such low self-esteem? There are several things that contribute to lack of low self-esteem. Maybe guilty over past sins, worried, anxiety, criticism, or just maybe lack of encouragement from others. But one of the greatest reasons for a Christian to have low self-esteem has to be the value system of the world around us. I believe we are called to be different. God said, do not love the world or the things in the world, but Satan is going to do his best to make us want to love the world and use many different ways to accomplish that. He makes us to be different from the world. Even though God tells us not to do and not to be conformed to the world. In Romans 12:2, when Satan makes us feel embarrassed because we are different from the world in the way we think and live and dress and talk, he has succeeded us in attacking our self-esteem. Satan wants the world to determine how we feel about ourselves rather than God. The problem here has become evident at a very early age. Even at toddlers, we call it peer pressure. The desire among teenagers to be accepted and be popular is very strong. When a non-Christian begins to ask, why don't you drink, smoke, or have sex? The Christian teenager feels that their self-esteem is on the line. They want us to feel important. They want us to be part of the crowd. But on the other hand, they know they have to make choices based on what's right and what's wrong. And no matter what their choice is, their self-esteem is bound to be a bit lower simply because of the peer pressure. The mass media today and the social media today have gone a long ways towards promoting the value of our world. When you open your iPhone or any phone, when you turn on your television set, or you look at a magazine, you're introduced to the important people of the world, the superstars, the celebrities, and the well-known people. We look to entertainment and attention that are received by only a few actors and actresses and singers. People like Tom Hanks, Julia Roberts, the Kardashians, Lady Gaga. Somehow all these people seem to be different from the world. And they're different from the rest of us. They are special. They live with their lives so excited and the level of importance which most of us don't even experience. And we are made to feel that we are made to feel that because of our lifestyle is not that of the rich and famous. That somehow we are significant and worthless. But there is something terribly wrong with the value system. I think of all the boys who have had their heart set on being a professional basketball player and making millions of dollars a year, and all the girls who dream of becoming Miss America. There's nothing wrong with setting goals and aiming for them. But if we fail to achieve the highest level that is recognized by society, do we cease to be important? You see, if we live by the standards of our culture, which tell us who is special, we're going to feel frustrated. Our normal routine seems to be dull and uneventful. We fall under what we consider to be the curse of being average. They tell us that one of the life's most severe crises comes when we approach the age 40. And I know about being age 40. I just got my first pair of reading glasses. This crisis grows out of a sense of frustration that we have not achieved the level of accomplishment we have expected. We have thought we would do better. Any of us feel by that age we should have been ahead of it? Suddenly we're faced with the fact that we are only average. Only average. Our frustration comes from accepting the common view of who is special. But when we hang our self-worth on the possession of a power, talent, or wealth, we are doomed to be unhappy. Abraham Lincoln once said, God must have loved the average people. He created so many of them. If we are based on a worth on the standard like that, we're always going to be frustrated because it is a false system of value. But the Bible has a perspective on important people. This is quite different from the one you get from social media, internet, or television. The basis of self-esteem. There are several things that the Bible teaches us and helps us to realize how important we really are. We are made in the image of God. In the very first pages of the Bible, we get a feeling of self-worth. The words were created by God. This world was created by God. Then on the sixth day, we read, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness," in Genesis 1:26. And the same thing that was true of Adam is true for each and every one of us. We are made in the image of God. We are not descendants of a monkey, a jellyfish, but we are created by God himself. And Job said, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." in Job 33:4. I'm sure you have all seen little plaques around here that say something like this: I'm somebody special, because God doesn't make no junk. I even think my wife has a t-shirt that says that. That's a great deal of truth, is that? Remember a number of years ago, teens, you might not remember this. There was a little girl named Jessica that fell into a well. Do you guys remember that? And she couldn't get out. People from all over showed up to help. Equipment was donated. People neglected their jobs to help that little girl. People all over the town waited anxiously. Eventually, she was rescued. People were relieved. Everyone was happy. It was the featured news in the town and across the country. Why all the fuss over a little girl? And why were you so concerned about a handful of fellow Americans who were captured in Iraq? Because something deep within us tells us that every human life is special. In the words of T.S. Eliot, there is something in all in us, in all of us, which is just hereditary. But something unique, something we have been from eternity, something straight from God. The value of our society may look down on the average person. Maybe you're not as fast as others, or as strong, or as good looking, or even as smart. But yet, the good news is, you were formed by the hands of God in His own likeness, and you are very special to Him. God knows each and every single one of us. Listen to the psalm of a man who valued a system which was based on faith. It isn't the statement of a superstar, but a man who saw his own worth in the view of his relationship with God. Oh Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts after all. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are adequate with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it all together. In Psalms 139, 1 through 4, in verse 6, David goes on to say, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Here was a man who wasn't frustrated. He knew the value that he depended on by playing and leading the role of being able to alter the course of history. And he did that. He was special because God knew him. And you, that means you, are special for the very same reason. Because God knows you. Jesus made some statements which show the value he placed on us. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? Are not one of them, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are more valuable than any sparrow. A sparrow seems practical, worthless, yet God knows the whereabouts of every sparrow, but He is much more concerned about that, about you, than He is about the sparrow. The whole design of Jesus. This statement is to make you see how valuable you are in the eyes of God, no matter how old you are. And even the hairs of your head are all numbered. He said, how many hairs are grown from your scalp? You couldn't even come close to getting the count. Of course, with some people, God has more to keep us with than others. But God cares for you, that He keeps a daily count. Do you hear that? He keeps a daily count. That seems insignificant to us. There are over 5 billion people on the face of this world today. It's easy to feel that that makes us insignificant. How does God care just about one person over 5 billion? And we're just one. But God knows you. And He knows you by name. He knows where you live. He knows where you go. He knows what you do, what you say. Get this. He even knows what you think. Because you matter. You matter to God. You are special to Him. And His judgment of your worth has nothing to do with your financial status, what grades you get in class, or how fast you can run 100 yards. You are one of His children, and He loves you very much. We're not massively produced on the assembly line. We are individuals. So Lincoln was totally correct when he spoke of God making so many average people. In truth, He made no ordinary people. The social media and the internet, the computers, they may not know you by name, but God does. There's nothing ordinary about you. You're very special. God loves us enough to die for us. In the early part of the 30th century, a critic of the church criticized church Christianity because they take just anybody. They have no standards. But I think he missed the point. He was the one using the wrong standards. According to God's standards, each of us is truly someone special. Jesus had a capacity to show special love to everyone he met. And especially apparent when he dealt with people who probably didn't have a very high self-esteem. People who were considered nobodies by everyone around them. And who very likely came to believe it themselves. But to Jesus, they mattered. They were important. There was a Samaritan woman who had 5 husbands. There was Zacchaeus and other tax collectors who were looked down upon by everyone. There was a woman caught in the act of adultery. There was a prostitute who wanted to find a new life. Jesus gave each one of them a feeling of self-worth, a whole new outlook on life, because He loved them. And He loves us the same way. Paul wrote, "But God demonstrates His own love towards us, is that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That is the ultimate proof that you are special, that God died for us. One of the most beautiful thoughts in all this world is that you were the only person in this world. Jesus would have come and died for you on that cross. And guess what? Just for you. That's how much He loves you. And that's how special you are to Him. You see, God evaluates our self-worth. And he doesn't depend on what others think, nor upon the standards of measurements we often are used to. He loves you just as you are, with all your shortcomings and all your inabilities and all your failures. Several years ago, someone calculated the worth of a human being by figuring out how much it would cost to buy the elements that composed our bodies and came up with the amounts of several dollars. But one true worth is determined by how much someone was willing to pay for us. Do you hear that? Jesus paid the price. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Consider this a fact, that Jesus Christ regarded you as a valuable item, enough to die on the cross. That tells us that we are worth a great deal. As I close, you are someone special. You were created in the image of God. He knows you by name, and he loves you. He loves you not enough to die for you. That makes you worth a great deal. I've been feeling inadequate and worthless. Maybe you have. May God grant you the strength today to turn around. While all the humans are born in the image of God, those who are Christians are born again in the image of God and have even more reason to have high self-esteem. We are the children of God. Now that doesn't matter. That doesn't make us any better than anyone else. But it does give us even better self-sense of value. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you don't feel like, if I could just start over, if I could only put my mistakes and my sins behind me and start things out right. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul said, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is new creation. One thing has passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Here's your chance. Maybe your chance is to repent your sins. Maybe you need to be baptized into Christ and begin a brand new life. God thought you were worth dying for. Do you think this morning he is worth living for?